Thanks.
The order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into another Saturday with That Movie Show, presented by Showcase Cinemas right here on North Shore 104.9. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe. Eddie, how you doing on this Saturday?
I'm doing great, and it's a great day for movies.
Every Saturday is a great day for movies because we're talking them.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
What's better than that? Spending your Saturday morning talking movies with us, That Movie Show.
Yeah, you can do it all the time on Twitter.
Because
we're constantly doing that too.
It's kind of what we do. We keep it simple. We talk movies on the social media. And of course, you can follow our podcast version. Go to thatmovieshow.net because we deep dive. We do long form reviews into movies. This week, I believe we have The Irishman, Martin Scorsese's new epic film that hit Netflix like a week or two ago or Thanksgiving.
Oh, I have thoughts.
Oh, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. But that's for the podcast on thatmovieshow.net. Today we're talking, it was a big week for trailers again. It seems like the last few weeks have been big weeks for 2020 trailers. What's coming up next year? And, well, we got one that's been anticipated. And, man, did they deliver, in my opinion, on this first teaser. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, I think I've talked about it before where I'm not necessarily like a huge like Ghostbusters person. Like a friend of mine, his name is Matt Catanzano. He runs an awesome YouTube show called Deep Cuts, where it's him and a alien puppet that review terrible movies. It's a hoot. Go check it out. It's okay. Just Deep Cuts on YouTube. But he's a huge Ghostbusters fan. And, you know, it's just – I've never really gotten into it. But I'm excited for this movie. This movie looks good.
And it also it's one of those things that, you know, probably a handful of years ago, Dan Aykroyd was really pushing hard about Ghostbusters 3. I remember we even had him on Wicked Bites at the time, and I sat down and talked with him because he was promoting his Crystal Head Vodka thing. But I asked him, and I'm like, so how's Ghostbusters 3? Because he had been in the media talking a lot about the script and talking about trying to get Bill Murray involved, et cetera, et cetera. And he was like, yeah, we set up offices. We're ready to go. We just need script approval from the studios and blah, 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 blah. And then like 6 months later, the Paul Feig thing started getting into motion and, you know, we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's always really, really unfortunate when things like that happen.
But now it seems like they're retconning it, if you will. Because
yeah,
as the Paul Feig version of Ghostbusters ignored the original Ghostbusters, this sequel is ignoring Paul Feig and his version of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, apparently.
And it's a teaser trailer for a movie that's coming out next summer. So they're not going to give the farm away. But it looks really interesting and cool. It does follow the chronological story of the original Ghostbusters from 1984, followed by, Ghostbusters 2, which was 89, I think 30
something
years ago,
like
something
that.
And now we find ourselves, based off what the teaser has shown us, in a farm?
Yeah.
It looks like it was owned by the Spangler family, Harold Ramis' character.
That was what I kind of inferred, was that because he died in real life and he can't actually be in this, he died in the movie. You know,
we're not gonna do a hologram Harold Ramis and
we're not gonna
Grand Moff Tarkin Harold Ramis for this one.
Yeah, I don't think we need to, but that's what I think that we're gearing up, is that his family moved into his like old farmhouse after he retired or something,
and then
has since passed. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I like Paul Rudd so far. First of all, Paul Rudd, fantastic actor, and I really like him in a lot of things. He's like the comedy version of Sam Rockwell.
Yes. Yes, very much.
You know, where it's
a great, great reference.
Where it's just like, look, we need a little bit of something something in this from like a bit player. And that's where we call Paul Rudd.
We got Paul Rudd. And yeah, it looks like there's let's see. I'm trying to pull up the actors and actresses and all that stuff in this one real quick.
Finn Wolfhard.
Well, he's from Stranger Things. He's definitely in it.
I also love that he's just turned into like 80s like spooky kid. Like that's it.
Basically.
Like, all he does is just like, I'm going to be in the movie where spooky stuff happens and I'm going to fight it because I'm that kid.
He's got this. He's got the It and It Chapter 2. Yes. McKenna Grace. That's the one I was looking for. The young actress who it looks like she's playing Egon's daughter.
Okay.
At least from the teaser, that's what it looks like. Her character is Phoebe, and she's the one Paul Rudd is talking to. She finds the trap in the floorboards, and he's like, "Oh, this is a great replica." And she's of course they're kids in 2019. So they don't a replica of what? Because in this era, it looks like, at least again, the teaser trailer is telling us that there hasn't been a ghost sighting in 30 years since the original Ghostbusters. And then she finds the PKE meter. And
right.
But Finn Wolfhard, so I don't know if it's a brother or a cousin or just a friend, he finds Ecto-1 in the barn.
Oh, and they go for a joyride.
Takes on a little joyride and has a little bit of fun and shenanigans with the proton pack, it looks like, riding around the town,
blasting shooting the stuff.
Buildings and stuff, which I don't know if you caught it in the trailer, a nice little Slimer cameo in the teaser.
Yeah, there was just a little bit of taste, which I liked.
I'm hoping the Belushi steak gets a little bit of something for these royalties, since the character was basically based on John Belushi.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if you've watched The Movies That Made Us. It's a series on Netflix.
Not yet.
And they did, it's I think 4 or 6 episodes. They did Die Hard, they did Home Alone, they did Dirty Dancing, they did Ghostbusters as well.
Cool.
And it's a really cool thing. It's kind of a spinoff of the series The Toys That Made Us.
Yeah. Which,
as a child of the 80s, and they're just playing with all the toys that I played with, the He-Man, the Star Wars, the wrestling figures. It's awesome. It's an awesome bit of nostalgia. Okay. But in the Ghostbusters one, they kind of broke down how the original Ghostbusters were supposed to be Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, and John Belushi. Well, yes. Eddie became too famous. John obviously died, so they had to,
circle back
to what we were going to get. And we ended up getting, of course, Harold Ramis, Bill Murray, and Ernie Hudson. But in the making of the Slimer character, Dan Aykroyd is very specific. He's like, no, make it John Belushi. I want it to look like John Belushi and act like... So that was basically his tribute to his friend John Belushi.
Yeah, which is always really fun. I do like when actors do stuff like that and, like, they're actually friends.
Exactly. Yeah, it's, again, it's just a teaser trailer. It's a teaser for a movie that's coming out next summer. But from what I've seen and from what I've heard about the production, of course, it's Jason Reitman, who wrote and directed it, who's the son of Ivan Reitman, who directed the original.
Right.
It looks like for lack of a better term, they're doing all the right things. Like everything that everyone complained about with the 2016 Paul Feig reboot, it seems like they're doing the opposite. And again, we're just looking at a 2-minute teaser, so it's like, I can't say that there's a ton of fan service in it, while it's also one of those legacy sequels that we talked about a few weeks ago with Terminator.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like they're doing the right things. It looks like they're keeping with the theme of it while also telling what appears to be a new story.
Yeah. It will, like I said, it's really tough to say what is happening. What I mean? Like, it's really tough to say just because it's 2 minutes. And I think everything that we see is in the first act. What I mean? So
it might even be the pre-credit scene.
Yeah. Right. That might be the first 20 minutes of the movie, which awesome if it is, but yeah, I think that it's a solid base and I'm excited to see what happens next.
Another big movie trailer that dropped, another summer. It's actually coming out. Wow, these are 2 weeks apart. So Ghostbusters is scheduled. No, I'm sorry, a month apart. I'm sorry. Ghostbusters is scheduled for July 10th of 2020. This is scheduled for June 5th of 2020. Wonder Woman 1984. I just watched the trailer, and it looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm moderately confused by a lot of it.
Yeah, the whole thing is I don't understand why the sequel is also a prequel. Like, well, you again, know,
first of all, DC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the real shame of it, because that's what it is, where it's like we did the Justice League and it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. And so now, like, we have to still use Gal Gadot because she was really good and everybody saw her movie. You know,
Wonder Woman was kind of like the best part of it.
Yeah, Wonder Woman was really, really good, and everybody really likes her and likes the movie. So, but we don't want to make a sequel to a part of this extended universe that we're not going to have anymore.
That we're starting to kind of reboot, but not really.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the same people are in the same characters, because it's like, yeah, they're going to, so they're rebooting Batman. They're obviously rebooting Suicide Squad. It seems like the Batman side of things is where a lot of the reboots are happening.
Yeah,
but they're gonna keep Aquaman. They're gonna keep Wonder Woman kind of the same because they don't
want to keep Henry Cavill, they don't want to keep Henry Cavill, but they can't. Like, he still wants to do it.
Right.
So they keep saying like they're playing chicken as to who's gonna can who first. And then they want to keep Shazam. You know what I mean? So it's just like,
it's a mess.
It's a mess. It's an absolute
DC universe. It's a mess. Hashtag release the Snyder Cut.
Yeah. Hashtag release the Snyder Cut. Cause
that's how much of a mess this universe is. All the fans care about is a work print that might get released when they do that HBO Max thing, I'm guessing.
Right. And God,
cause that's what it's going to be. It's going to be like, I'm pretty sure from what I've heard about the Snyder Cut of Justice League is it's an unfinished work print.
Yes.
So it's not even like the effects are finished. So it's going to be like watching dailies, basically.
It's going to be like when that cut of Wolverine came out, and they, like, right before the movie released, somebody leaked Wolverine Origins online. Mm-hmm. And so there were like scenes where he would like pop out his claws and they would be like
cartoony, the bad CGI.
Yeah, it was like they weren't finished. You know what I mean? Like, it was like definitely the first pass of the CGI, you know, just to make sure that it like worked or whatever. But yeah, that's what that movie's going to be. It's just going to be that sort of nonsense. Also, bring back Ben Batfleck. Yeah, cuz I already don't like Twilight guy, Robert Pattinson as Batman. Because everything I'm hearing is that he can't pack on the muscles to actually play Batman. And it's just like, oh, I don't want a skinny Batman. You're
hooked up with those McMahon doctors, pal.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Put him on the juice.
You know, but it's just like, I don't know. I think that the Wonder Woman trailer looks good. It looks good. I think it'll be 80s. Fine. It's super 80s. You know,
in a mall.
Yeah, she's fighting in a mall. She's in decked out gold suit that would make Kevin Smith's Superman blush.
Right.
You know,
it looks cool. It does look cool. Speaking of looking cool, brand spanking new Showcase Cinema in Legacy Place in Dedham. They have revamped, remodeled. It is open to the public now. And today, Saturday, December 14th, you can get tickets for $5 to all movies all day for the official re-grand opening of the Legacy Place Dedham Showcase Cinemas. It's really cool. It's really spectacular. And those $5 tickets cover everything, including Lux-level movies. So head down today, Saturday, December 14th, to Showcase Cinemas at Legacy Place in Dedham. Check out the brand new theater. Check out the brand new seats. Check out the brand new everything, including $5 tickets all day today. And the Dedham Legacy Place Showcase is also where you can see the Star Wars Marathon starting on December 18th, next Wednesday. And it's going to run from episode 1 all the way through a first run advanced screening of The Rise of Skywalker. So check that out. I might actually go by there.
I'm going to check it out. I absolutely love it. I love marathons.
I might do a pop-in. I might show up around A New Hope.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll get right
to the last 20 minutes of Revenge of the Sith and then just stick around.
Are they doing, is it just the mainline movies or is it?
Yeah, it's just the nine in the Skywalker franchise.
Okay, yeah, so no Rogue One.
Nope. It would be cool if they could like tack that last 2 minute Vader scene in before A New Hope just as like a fun little bit, because that was amazing.
But, yeah, or just like just play the third act, third act of Rogue One, and then dovetail it in.
Skip Solo.
Yeah, skip Solo. We don't need
maybe
it.
Maybe run a couple episodes of The Mandalorian just for fun.
Yeah, but that'll come in between Jedi and Force Awakens. Yeah.
But yeah, all nine Star Wars movies are playing starting on the 18th at Showcase Cinema's Legacy Place in Dedham. Showcase Cinema is proud sponsor of that movie show right here on North Shore 104.9. A movie that last week got its Boston premiere. Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. Adam Sandler and Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, KG was there.
He's in the movie. He's playing himself.
Yeah,
Boston premiere. It's making a little bit of news because apparently in an interview, Adam Sandler, quote unquote, threatened to make a movie that is so bad on purpose if he doesn't win an Oscar for Uncut Gems. Now,
great.
To that, I ask him, are you implying that the rest of your movies were bad by accident?
Yes, of course. I also love
Adam Sandler movies on this show.
Oh, I know. The Ridiculous Six or whatever was terrible. It was unwatchable. But I would love to live in a... It's a win-win, right?
World's 2 Electric Boogaloo was not awesome.
No, it wasn't. But I definitely want to see live in a world where either Adam Sandler is an Academy Award winner, or he definitely makes the worst movie of all time. One is far more likely than the other. But I want to live in a world where one of those two things happens.
I mean, to his credit, first of all, the trailer looks amazing.
Yes.
It's one of those movies that I do want to see. And Adam Sandler, it's a weird thing to say, but when Adam Sandler comes across as if he cares, he does a really good job. He's actually a good actor. You look at stuff like Punch Drunk Love.
Funny People.
What was the one? Was it Rain Over Me?
The Water Boy.
Yeah, I mean, even his goofy comedies like Water Boy, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, they were good. They were.
Yeah.
They weren't just like, hey, me and Chris Rock and Kevin James want to go on vacation to Hawaii.
Chuck and Larry. Like, that was actually a good movie.
Yeah. But yeah, so apparently Entertainment Weekly, while they were interviewing him, basically they brought up the idea of Grown Ups 3 Fart Camp. I'm not joking. And he's like, I will do that. I will make that movie, and I will make that movie intentionally horrible if I don't win an Academy Award for this movie, Uncut Gems.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be very interesting. I'd love to see what happens.
Look, I'm sure a lot of local actors, because the Grown Ups movies are all filmed around here, sure a lot of local actors are hoping he doesn't win, so that way they get a couple days on set.
Yeah, right. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You know, they take over water parks when they're here, but that's exactly what it is. I mean,
because there's always a big party scene that requires a bunch of local extras.
Right, and those local extras.
Halloween with a wild Steve Austin cameo.
Yeah, right. He's a weird dude, but he's a loyal dude, and that's ultimately what matters, right?
It does look good. Uncut Gems does actually look really good, and I can't wait to check it out in theaters. His character in the trailer gives me a real John Turturro in Rounders type of vibe.
Yeah. I was going to say, this movie is also potentially what they were trying to do with The Fanatic with Fred Durst and John Travolta.
So those are two things that, you know, are just a recipe for disaster anyway.
That's very true. Very, very true.
But I know when it does get released in theaters, I am definitely checking out, and I'm going to be checking out using my Showcase Subscribe app, because you can see more movies a month starting as low as $11.95 with Showcase Subscribe. Go to ShowcaseSubscribe.com right now and sign up for your subscription. You can also gift subscriptions. We're in the holiday season. You know somebody in your family who loves to see movies and wants to see movies more for less per month? gift them a subscription to Showcase Subscribe. Again, showcasesubscribe.com. Plans start as low as $11.95. Showcase Cinema is proud sponsor of that movie show right here on North Shore 1049. And Eddie, we got the Golden Globe nominations. They have been released. Golden Globes are next month. And yeah. Let's give a brief overview. We'll do a full show in a couple weeks.
Right. The Golden Globes always confuse me because, like, first of all, I love the idea that it's like movies, TV miniseries, right? Like, it encompasses everything. It's not like the Emmys that are just TV or the Oscars, which are just film. It's everything, which I do appreciate. I do like. I just always find it weird that there is best comedy and best comedy or musical and then best drama, but then there's not a category that's both. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a little bit of a cop out.
Well, we've run into that problem over the last few years where there's been movies that absolutely didn't belong in the categories placed in it. And I think last year, I mean, I went and saw Vice in theater and it wasn't funny, but yeah, it was right. In the comedy. I went and saw, but yet stuff like A Star Is Born wasn't in musical or comedy.
It was in drama.
It was in drama. And I think Bohemian Rhapsody was also in drama.
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody was in drama, which didn't
both of
make
those
sense.
Deserve to be in the musical section of musical or comedy, and Vice should have definitely been in drama. I think right. The Martian was one of the ones that won for best comedy, and like again,
not funny.
There's chuckle points, but it's a drama. Right.
Yeah, it's a drama.
It's a man stranded on Mars. It's a drama.
You know, looking at the categories
this year looks a little bit more even.
It feels real. The only thing that's kind of out of place is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's what I was looking for.
That's the only one that kind of feels out of place. But you know what? I'm not going to fight you on it just because
it's not going to win.
It's not going to win, and it's stylized.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you look at the dramas and it's 1917, The Irishman, Joker, Marriage Story, Two Popes. Yeah, you know
Joker
what I mean?
Was hilarious. Yeah, I don't know Joker. What you're talking about. Joker is comedy all day. Yeah. Just to ask anyone.
Yeah, right. But you know,
just
so those
ask
were
Todd
like,
Phillips as he goes to the bank every day.
Yeah. Those are dramas. Those are hard dramas. Okay. And then you look at the best motion, like the best musical or comedy, and it's like Dolomite Is My Name, which I haven't watched yet, but it's on really Netflix and really I've heard nothing but good things. So it's like, okay, that deserves to be there. Jojo Rabbit. There's definitely humor points in that. So yeah. Okay.
It
sure.
Silly.
If there are silly moments of it, Knives Out isn't what I would say is comical, but it's lighthearted in the sense of like Clue, you know.
That's exactly what I thought about it too. It's exactly what I thought about it.
And then Rocket Man is a musical.
That's appropriate. That's why it was weirded out when Bohemian Rhapsody was in drama and won.
Right. Yeah, I'm surprised because I loved Rocket Man. I absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. I thought that my thoughts on the movie in general is Rami Malek did a better job playing the person than Taron Egerton did playing Elton John. Okay. But Rocket Man is a better movie than Bohemian Rhapsody was a movie.
Right.
You know, so.
So in comedy or musical, what would you say? What would you say is going to win?
I'm going to say that Jojo Rabbit is going to win, and it should win. That is my favorite movie of the
year.
You
are really strong on that one. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I still haven't seen it. I do want to see it. I probably will see it before we do our award show. But I would probably go based off the ones I have seen. I would say probably a toss up between Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Rocket Man, probably with Rocket Man leaning towards it. But again, I haven't seen Jojo Rabbit yet.
Yeah.
So I have to weigh my bets on that one.
I've seen everything. I've seen everything except for Dolomite Is My Name. In this category,
it's really good, and that could be a sleeper win too, especially with Eddie Murphy's having his resurgence right now.
Yeah, I think critically also Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, everybody loved it, you know, like critically. Mm-hmm. Like you got a 20 minute standing ovation or something.
Did you ever watch that video where they were at Cannes and the guy, the cameraman was like way too close to the cast and Tarantino while the ovation's going, and he wouldn't like He was just, it was one of those weird things. Like, he was very awkward in their face, and the applause is going on. They just keep kind of waving and waving, and it just got weird real fast.
Yeah, well, that's those also
long foreign ovations are weird.
Yeah, well, it's like, I liked that movie.
Yeah,
it did not deserve a 45-minute ovation.
Are you going to stand until your hands bleed for an hour and a half clapping for these people? No, good job, guys. Let's move on to the bar.
So I could definitely see that. I loved Knives Out. I saw Knives Out over the weekend, and that movie was awesome.
I love that you said Clue, because that's exactly how I felt, too. I watched it over the weekend as well, and yeah, total Clue vibes.
Yeah.
Drama.
Yeah, drama, it's tough because, I mean, Irishman and Joker are definitely front runners there. I haven't seen 1917, but
I haven't either. It looks like Dunkirk. I want to.
Yeah, I love that this is now kind of where we're going, where cinema kind of came and matured post-World War II. So everybody, like, all of the stories to tell were all of people that had fought in World War II. You know, and so I like that now we're getting stories like Dunkirk and 1917 that are about World War One. You know, because, you know, everybody remembers the sequel. You know what I mean? And it's such a major focal point in, you know, I think world history. Sure. But World War One is kind of just glossed over. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's weird because of its impact and what it causes for World, you know, it sets the stage for World War II. Sure. But, you know, I'm very excited. The big thing about this, and I'm a sucker for this type of filmmaking, is that it kind of takes that Birdman style of, like, one continuous take almost. Yeah. And I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I haven't seen the 1917 either, but based off of this list I have in front of me of the ones I have seen, I would say Irishman.
Yeah,
I think it's definite front runner. I think Joker would be a controversial win, but I think it's definitely in the running.
Yeah,
it's got to be high up on people's lists.
Right. I would. You know what's even more crazy? And I was just looking at these nominations. Is a movie like Cats is nominated for Best Original Song, and it's just like,
what, 30 years ago?
Yeah. Well, because they got the new movie coming out. It's just like.
You know, one of my friends has been trying to bait me into going and seeing it and then doing a Movies with Mike type of review. I don't know. You might have to come with me and we just do a real show with it.
Yeah, let's do
that,
it.
That looks... Oh.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Looks real bad. I wasn't a fan of the musical, and I actually saw that on Broadway. Yeah. All right, so we're going to do a full Golden Globes breakdown in a couple weeks, a little bit closer to the show, and we'll go through all the major categories, best actors in motion, in comedy, musical, drama, best actresses, etc., supporting directors, all that stuff. We'll break it all down on a special Golden Globes episode of That Movie Show. But before we take off, Eddie, you got some recommendation for me?
Yeah, you know what? I was going to do Avengers Infinity War originally, because it's on Netflix. Go watch it. But my actual one is go see Knives Out.
Yeah.
Go see Knives Out. That's brand new. That's in the theater still. Chris Evans is fantastic.
Yep.
He is awesome. And Daniel Craig steals the show. I need more Benoit Blanc, gentleman sleuth, in my life.
He's nominated for Golden Globe as well, Daniel Craig. Yep.
Yeah,
for Best Actor in Musical Comedy. And use your Showcase subscribe app when you go see Knives Out in theaters now. Obviously. My recommendation, this was a complete random pickup. It's for you fans of boutique Blu-rays. If you know what that means, you know what that means. I went to Best Buy. I picked up Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in Blu-ray. And as I'm walking to the register, I see on the shelf Arrow Video, who is doing like a lot of like high-end boutique Blu-rays, like Criterion Collection along that line. And they just released RoboCop. So it has three cuts. It's two discs. It has a theatrical, it has the unrated director's cut, which has never been released in proper Blu-ray before, and it has the TV edit cut, which is very interesting, and just a slew, hours upon hours of extras. It is awesome. I picked up the steel book here, which I'm showing to Eddie on our camera. It is really, really, really cool. So the Arrow Video limited edition release of RoboCop on Blu-ray. I highly recommend it, especially if you're like me and a fan of physical media. Thank you for joining us on That Movie Show here on North Shore 104.9, presented by Showcase Cinemas. You can follow Eddie and myself on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. We have our Christmas watch along coming up soon, so definitely get in those recommendations for what you want Eddie and I to suffer through around the Christmas holiday. And you can follow the podcast on thatmovieshow.net and facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week right here on That Movie Show on North Shore 104.9.
Bye-bye. That's Boomy Valley, Boomy Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic.
Under NASA's Artemis program, Dynetics and Leidos will develop and build a new human landing system, advancing economic opportunities and paving the way for a sustained lunar economy. Learn more at DyneticsHLS.com.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.